The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, September 30th through Sunday, October 6th, 2024. The commentary for October was written by Joseph Yu, vicar of Mosaic Episcopal Church, a church plant in the Diocese of Texas. He is also the author of When the Saints Go Flying In. The commentary for Monday, September 30th, begins as follows with a passage from the book of Genesis in the Old Testament, chapter 28, verse 15a. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. Here's the commentary. When I left California after 17 years to return to my hometown near Washington, D.C., I drove cross-country alone. I was cautious, of course. I pre-planned 3 overnight stays with friends along the way. I stuck to my route and timed it so I wouldn't drive at night. Everything went off without a hitch. As we make our way through life, we often move from one place to the next, to a new city or a familiar town. We make our plans and plan our course. Sometimes the journey is smooth and other times rocky, but God is always with us. With that blessed assurance, we can arrive at the new place with a sense of thanksgiving for safe travels and anticipation of what is to come. And now I'm going to read from the full text of Genesis 28, verses 10 through 17. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring, and your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And the moving forward suggestion for this Monday, September 30th, write this verse from Genesis on a piece of paper and tuck it away in a wallet or purse as a reminder of God's abiding presence. Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, October 1st. It begins with a passage from Luke chapter 5, verse 13. Then Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, I do choose. Be made clean. Immediately the leprosy left him. Jesus did the little things so well. What strikes me about this verse isn't the actual healing, but the fact that Jesus touched the man with the skin disease, something people were not supposed to do. I wonder when the last time this man was physically touched by another human being. The thing about miracles no one talks about is that the miraculousness of them fades away. People who were healed got sick again. Those who were raised from the dead died again. While the miracles were miraculous, I believe the true transformation was how Jesus treated those who needed healing as actual human beings and not people to be avoided at all costs. The poet Maya Angelou once said, "People will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel." Jesus made those in need of healing feel like actual children of God. We may not be able to perform miracles like Jesus did, but we can all can remind other people of how loved they are. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 26. "Once when he was in one of the cities, there was a man covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground and begged him, 'Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, 'I do choose. Be made clean.' Immediately the leprosy left him, and he ordered him to tell no one. 'Go,' he said, 'and show yourself to the priest, and as Moses commanded, make an offering for your cleansing, for a testimony to them.' But now more than ever the word about Jesus spread abroad. Many crowds would gather to hear him and to be cured of their diseases, but he would withdraw to deserted places and pray. One day, while he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting nearby. They had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. Just then, some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a bed. They were trying to bring him in and lay him before Jesus, but finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said, 'Friend, your sins are forgiven you.' Then the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, 'Who is this who is speaking blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' When Jesus perceived their questionings, he answered them, 'Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, "Your sins are forgiven you," or to say, "Stand up and walk"? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the one who was paralyzed, 'I say to you, stand up and take your bed and go to your home.' Immediately he stood up before them, took what he had been lying on, and went to his home, glorifying God. Amazement seized all of them, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, 'We have seen strange things today.'" And the moving forward question for this day is, how will you remind someone that they are loved today? The commentary for Wednesday, October 2nd, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verse 27. "After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, 'Follow me.'" Much to our chagrin, perhaps, the invitation to follow Jesus is open to anyone. That's apparent in Jesus inviting Levi, a tax collector, to follow him. Well, one thing the Israelites could all agree on was their distaste for Israelite tax collectors. At best, tax collectors were traitors to their people, history, culture, and heritage. Yet there was Jesus openly inviting Levi to be part of his inner circle and going to Levi's house for a party. I was once told that the best ability is availability. While many of us Christians try to add stipulations for church membership, the invitation to discipleship has no requirements but to be readily available and willing to follow Jesus. Perhaps then, rather than getting bogged down by pondering if we are qualified enough for Jesus' invitation, we make ourselves available and ask for courage to follow Jesus wherever he leads us. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel today, which is Luke chapter 5, verses 27 through 39. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi gave a great banquet for him in his house, and there was a large crowd of tax collectors and others sitting at the table with them. The Pharisees and their scribes were complaining to his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Then they said to him, "John's disciples, like the disciples of the Pharisees, frequently fast and pray, but your disciples eat and drink." Jesus said to them, "You cannot make wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them, can you? The days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days." He also told them a parable. "No one tears a piece from a new garment and sews it on an old garment. Otherwise the new will be torn, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise the new wine will burst the skins and will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, desires new wine, but says, 'The old is good.'" And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, October 2nd, is, how will you make yourself available for the Spirit's invitation today? Now let's turn to the commentary for Thursday, October 3rd. It begins with also a passage from Luke chapter 6, verse 2. "But some of the Pharisees said, 'Why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?'" Sometimes we get caught up in the wrong details, or we put too much emphasis on the wrong thing. Sabbath isn't supposed to create more anxiety, stress, and chaos in our lives, and if it does, we might be doing it wrong. For me, the essence of Sabbath is to remind ourselves that we are human beings and not human doings. It is scarily easy to think that our worth is based upon what we do, what we can produce, and how well we meet the daily demands in our lives. And if we're not careful, we can be transported to the space where Israelites were valued based on how many bricks they could produce. The Sabbath was a commandment to the people to remind them that they were free. Their worth and life were not based on what they produced, but because they were God's beloved. Sabbath for us, then, should be a time when we reflect on our lives as human beings and as children of God. And now I'm going to read the full passage for today's Gospel from Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. "One Sabbath, while Jesus was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked some heads of grain, rubbed them in their hands, and ate them. But some of the Pharisees said, 'Why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?' Jesus answered, 'Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught, and there was a man there whose right hand was withered. The scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would cure on the Sabbath, so they might find an accusation against him. Even though he knew what they were thinking, he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come and stand here." He got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, or to save life or to destroy it?" After looking around at all of them, he said to them, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was restored. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do with Jesus. And the moving forward suggestion for this Thursday is to be intentional about taking a moment today to breathe and simply be. Now let's turn to Friday, October 4th, the day on which we celebrate the feast day of St. Francis of Assisi. The commentary begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse 16b, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Can you imagine being defined throughout history for the worst thing you've ever done? I recently asked a barista who had Judas 8:2 tattooed on his forearm about its meaning. He began with the disclaimer, "I'm not religious, like, at all." I was wearing my collar at the time, so I think he was worried about where this conversation might go. Then he explained that he's always been fascinated by the character of Judas. He found it profound that Judas had a space at the table for the Last Supper, that, along with the other 11, Judas ate too. Like the barista, I'm also intrigued by Judas and the Last Supper. Jesus knew what Judas was going to do. And as Jesus went to wash his disciples' feet, he didn't skip over Judas. He didn't just go through the motions with Judas. Jesus was fully present, fully caring, and fully loving of Judas as he was the others. It couldn't have been easy. Yet Jesus practiced what he preached. He loved his neighbor, and he urges us to do the same. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel today, also from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 12 through 26. Now, during those days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. He came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. And the moving forward question for this Friday, October 4th, the feast day of Francis of Assisi, how will you treat the Judases in your life? The commentary for Saturday, October 5th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse 27. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Jesus has a method and plan for dealing with and vanquishing our enemies. It's just not the way we'd expect or might want. Jesus' plan is that we destroy our enemies with love and kindness. That's right. Jesus' method of handling our enemies is to genuinely wish them well, genuinely want what's best for them, and genuinely love them. I guess you could say it's a more extreme form of killing them with kindness. You have enemies? Pray for them, Jesus says. Want the best for them. Wish them the best. Hope that they can live their best life. Bless them. Love them. Treat them with so much kindness that perhaps one day they no longer your enemies, but at the least your neighbors and, at best, your friends. It's as simple as that. The thing is, following Jesus is simple, but it's not easy. And now I'm going to read the passage from today's Gospel, from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. And the moving forward comment for this Saturday, pray for someone you normally wouldn't pray for today. Now, as we near the end of this program and the end of this week, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, October 6th, the 20th Sunday after Pentecost. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 14b. Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. One Sunday morning, our musician texted me saying that he was sick and couldn't make it to church. I thought we had everything covered, but I forgot about music during the Eucharist. Before inviting people forward to receive communion, I told them about the lack of music. One of the children in the congregation, who was 5 years old, asked if she and her brother could sing. They started with Jesus Loves Me. Then her two-year-old brother started singing Baby Shark. While some of you might be horrified, I felt it was a holy moment. The boy offered his talents to the worship celebration. It all depends on how you view worship. If worship is a performance, then we should keep children silent and distractions at a minimum. But if we truly view worship as a communal celebration of God, our community, and the things that God is doing in us, with us, and through us, then let us make a joyful noise to the Lord. Baby Shark and all. And now I'm going to read from Mark 10, verses 2 through 16. Some Pharisees came, and to test him, they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, what changes could you help make to honor and celebrate the gifts of everyone in your congregation? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining us on the program today. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.